Members of Venezuela's opposition are in Washington, D.C. this week to meet with the Biden administration. They're trying to figure out a pathway to remove sanctions they say have crippled the country's economy. Venezuela has experienced over the years one of the largest mass migrations in the world. Millions of Venezuelans have fled because there just isn't enough food, fuel, or medicine. And now it's dealing with another crisis, the shortage of vaccines for COVID-19. Eric Schatzker of Bloomberg Television saw this firsthand.
There's an enormous amount of anxiety among the Venezuelan population about getting a vaccine. Of course, there's a black market, and if you have $450, you can probably get a shot, but you're taking a risk. What kind of a vaccine are you getting? Has it been properly stored? You know, is it real? Those kinds of things. So what we witnessed at the largest vaccination site in the country were lineups. I mean, lineups hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people long. One lineup had people with mobile phones. They had received a notification from the government that effectively their number had come up and that they should go to such and such a destination. And if they're lucky, they would be admitted and get a shot that day. The other lineup were the people who were just hoping that by showing up, they might actually persuade the authorities to let them in. And these were largely people in their 70s and 80s, old people, frail people who didn't have mobile phones and so weren't registered as part of the national vaccination program. And truly, they were desperate.
Eric Schatzker visited Caracas last week. He's the editor at large for Bloomberg TV, and he joins us now. Welcome, Eric.
Tanya, hi. Good to be with you.
Yes, great to have you. A quick reminder for people. The U.S. has actually been imposing sanctions on Venezuela for over 15 years now for human rights abuses and corruption. And we know the Trump administration expanded those economic sanctions. Can you describe for us the impact of these sanctions today?
It's pretty clear, Tanya, when you walk around Caracas or go to any other part of Venezuela, that American foreign policy is having a dramatic impact on the country's economy. Venezuela used to be one of the world's largest oil producers, and the U.S. sanctions effectively bar Venezuela from selling its oil abroad. And so tens of billions of dollars of export revenue have disappeared. And the Venezuelan economy over the course of the past 8 years has contracted by about 80%. That is the worst depression in modern history. Now, to be sure, some of that is on the Venezuelans themselves, on the Maduro government and on the Chavez government that preceded it. They pursued a policy of nationalization, price controls, subsidies, all kinds of things out of the so-called neo-Marxist playbook. And they too had a depressive impact on Venezuelan economic growth. But what you see right now is that without the export revenue, without access to foreign capital markets, Venezuela is unbelievably squeezed. And people are living, many, many millions of people are living on a monthly salary of just $3. They get handouts from the government, but you can imagine, do the math yourself, you know, what kind of a life you can lead on an income that small.
Eric, I'm struck by this number. Something like 5 million people have left Venezuela. It's one of the largest mass migrations in the world. You were in Caracas last week. What struck you most about the situation there?
The city feels depopulated. There are abandoned buildings. The legendary traffic that snarled Caracas is almost no longer. You can really feel the impact of this mass migration. A fifth of the population has fled to escape hardship and, in some cases, political oppression. And on the ground, you can really feel it.
Well, Eric, you actually spoke with President Maduro, and during the interview, he actually asked President Biden to lift sanctions. And the administration actually responded. What did they say?
Well, the administration has no intention of lifting the sanctions unilaterally right now because they're in place for a reason. Even if it was the Trump administration that put these harsh sanctions in place, there's no question that the United States has issues with the way Venezuela is being managed, with political oppression, with the lack of free and fair elections, with corruption, with drug trafficking, with human rights abuses. And so there's going to have to be some movement from both sides if an agreement is to exist. what Maduro was signaling is that he's ready to negotiate. He wants to talk. The Trump administration pursued a policy of regime change. The Biden administration has said its policy is free and fair elections. Those two policies may achieve the same result, but they get there in very different ways. And that's why Maduro feels a sense of perhaps optimism that there's potential for progress in what has up to now for the past 4 years been a stalemate.
Let's talk a little bit about Maduro's power. It's still in dispute. The international community called his 2019 win illegitimate. The Trump and now Biden administration says that as well. They recognize opposition leader Juan Guaido. How is this situation playing out there in Venezuela?
There's no question that Maduro's power is unchallenged locally. Juan Guaido is the Speaker of the National Assembly, and as a result, he was recognized by the United States and other governments as Venezuela's, let's call it, legitimate leader. But in Venezuela itself, the opposition is politically fragmented, and Guaido has popular support that you can measure in the teens, maybe 20%. But there are other opposition leaders who command support as well. And as a result, he does not speak for everyone who opposes the Maduro regime. And until the opposition gets itself together, if you will, and chooses a single representative and speaks with one voice, that's going to remain the case. So externally, he has, I guess, profile and maybe influence. Internally, much less so.
Mm. You also spoke with Guaido. What does he think a path forward will look like between the U.S. and Venezuela?
Let's not forget that Juan Guaido supported the U.S. sanctions. He believed, as Donald Trump and his administration believed, that they would precipitate regime change, that they would foment a popular uprising or perhaps even a military coup. And that didn't happen. Donald Trump is gone, and Nicolas Maduro is still in the Miraflores Palace, as he told me. And so Guaido's position has had to shift. While he still supports the sanctions, he's now calling for free and fair elections and says that he's willing to negotiate. The difference between him and other leaders of the opposition is that he wants an all or nothing deal. In other words, a free and fair election, and only then should the United States lift the sanctions. And other leaders, such as Enrique Capriles, who is more moderate in his posture, says that these discussions should be incremental and that each side should be willing to make compromises along the way. What form those compromises take in the end remains unclear because to date, very few have been made. But that's the way he sees it.
Well, do you expect anything to come out of these meetings that we're hearing about that are expected to happen in Washington with the opposition? What is the Biden administration prepared to do to help this situation?
It's not clear, and I don't expect a ton to come out of these meetings. It seems from my point of view, for what it's worth, that Juan Guaido and his associates are trying to assert whatever power they have. Again, remember that internally, they don't have as much power as they appear to have externally. And it's a bit of a political power play among the Venezuelan opposition. For anything to really happen, with respect to the sanctions, the United States government is going to have to see some form of concession on the part of the Maduro government. Does it need to be free and fair elections, or might he be willing to trade some other things? He's already done a few, and I'll explain. He allowed the World Food Program to come into Venezuela after years of resistance. He gave the political opposition two seats on Venezuela's five-seat National Election Commission, something it hasn't had for an awfully long time. And I should add, as a matter of fact, he released six CITGO executives to house arrest from prison. And so it demonstrates a willingness to compromise on some level, but thus far it hasn't been enough to prompt the U.S. government to lift the sanctions one iota.
Eric Schatzker is editor-at-large at Bloomberg TV. Eric, thank you so much for this update.
It's my pleasure.